king. But I wonder, why is that? Could it be because if David's king, that he would not no longer have the position that he now was having? It's like in our country today, when the president begins to be the president, everybody that's in the old cabinet, those are normally gone out the way, and now you have a new cabinet. Every time a president comes into office, he has his own people. That means other people lose the positions that they have. And my friends, oftentimes, when we look at it from that perspective, it's like, well, I'm going to lose something here. If I lose something, then I'm going to be missing something for myself. And the Bible shows us that he puts up Ishbosheth to be king. But now watch this. In verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, the Bible says, during this war, that the house of Saul grew weaker. But now David's house grew stronger. But now if you drop down to verse 6, the Bible says it came to pass that while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made what? Himself strong. So it wasn't the house of Saul that was getting stronger. He was getting stronger. He was being built up. And as you're going to see in a few moments, my dear friends, he was the one that was really leading the whole thing. And it wasn't Ishbosheth who was supposed to be the king of Israel. It wasn't Saul's son. Abner was the one who was to be feared. So we see he is getting stronger. The second thing we see is Ishbosheth's suspicion. The Bible says in verse number 7, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? What's up here? Well, now what's going on? She was a concubine of Saul. Not Saul's wife, but a concubine. But that means, my friends, she has a certain position, but not the same position as his wife. And if a person, once that king died, whoever was to take over his wives or his concubines, that would mean they would be the ones who would be in a position of leadership. Well, you know what? That was not Abner's position. And so Ishbosheth says, what you doing with my wife's concubine? What are you up to? Are you trying to put yourself in a position to take over? He's suspicious of Abner. But then next we see, my friends, Abner's selfish response. The Bible says in verse 8, then was Abner very wroth. He was hot. He was furious. And for the words of Ishbosheth, and this is what he said, am I a dog's head? Is that what I am? What are you talking about? The word dog head means this. It means like somebody that's low, of no value. It also means a male prostitute. Now, man, that caused you to slap somebody. Amen. He says, what is this? Watch what he says. He says, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul, thy father, and to his brethren, and to his friends, have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault, with a sin, with a perversity concerning this woman? You come to me, and I'm the one who's helping your family. I did not turn you over to David. Instead, I fought against David and Judah. And you have the nerve to come to me with this? Now, not one time does he deny that he has not had her, the concubine. He don't deny that. He's focusing on, you don't come to me with this mess? Now, watch what he does next. The Bible says in verse 9, so do God to Abner, and more also, except, watch these words, as the Lord have sworn, to David, even so I do to him. The Lord sworn oath to David. What he's referring to is David being king. And now he says, I'm going to swear an oath to David. You going to come at me like this? Well, let me tell you what, big boy. I'm going to go over to David's side. Now what you going to do? See, it's about self. It's not the fact of this is right and this is wrong. He's focusing on self. You don't come at me like this. Watch what he goes on to say. He says this, even so I do to him to translate, to take away the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. Boy, I'm going to take the kingdom and give it to David. Now, what's he saying? That's the kind of power I got. You might have a title of king, but I'm a kingmaker, so to speak. I'm going to switch allegiance, and now I'm going to go for David, and I'm going to take Israel, because I remember, David is only the king over Judah. So he said, I'm going to take David and make him king over Israel as well. That's what I'm going to do. You won't come at me like that. Say what I'm going to do. And watch this. Verse 11. And he, talking about Ishbosheth, could not answer Abner a word again. Why? Because he feared him. See, Ishbosheth was really a weak king. And that's probably why he chose to put him in that position so he could run things behind the scenes. But now he's feeling himself. He said, well, you know what? I'm going to take over. I'm going to take Mizpah. Then Israel's like, wait a minute. I ain't that stupid. It's like, what's going on over here? So, oh, you going to come at me like that? Well, I'm going to go over here. That's almost like sometimes when we were growing up, you know, you play on a certain team, and the team make you mad. So fine. I'm going to go join them. You go over here. Now, we're going to really smoke y'all. You know? Now, wait a minute. That's about self. It ain't about the team. It's about self. And here is Abner. He's all about himself, my dear friends. He's made himself strong. He's got a lot of power. He's wielding a lot of authority. He says to Ishbosheth, I'm going to take my ball and go play for the other team. I'm out of here. So we see Abner's selfish response. And then we see Abner seeking David. Verse number 12. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf. It's about him. Saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy league, make thy alliance with me. And behold, my hand. Let me tell you what's going on, David. My hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. That's what I'm going to do for you, David. I'm going to bring all of Israel on your side. See, David, he ain't stupid either. So David, we see David's special request. All right, big boy, verse 12. And he said, well, I like David. Well, I will make a league with thee. But one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face, bring my wife. If you remember, she had been given to David. And then Saul reneged, even though David had married her, and took her from David and gave her to somebody else. So David says, okay, bring my wife back. Now remember, this is Saul's daughter. This is also showing, my friends, that she's Saul's daughter. Remember, Saul was the first king. You know how they do stuff? They had all of them, you know, married in the kingdom and all that kind of stuff. Well, so what's going on here now is this. You bring my wife, that will also show the rest of Israel that this thing is coming together, basically. But you bring my wife back. Now, it's going to get a little bit sad. And excuse me, but a little bit hilarious, too. Okay? but watch this. Verse 14. David sent messengers. Now, David's smart. He don't just talk to Abner. He sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. That's how much he paid. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from who? Her husband. Even from Philistia, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her all along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner to him, go, return. Go on back to your house. And the Bible says that he returned. Now, I know it's sad, but it's kind of funny too. But there's a lot going on here, and I can't got time to get involved in all this stuff. There's a lot going on here. Think about it. He's married to Saul's daughter. Now, with that comes privileges. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you got prestige. You got, this is Saul's daughter. He's hanging out in the palace. He got a lot of stuff going on his way. Well, by taking her now from him, he's going behind him. He's trying. But she was David's wife first, and he knew that. When he got her, that was somebody else's. But now he's hurt. Now he's upset. Then Abner looks back at him and says, you're going back home. Now this is Abner. Remember, he's the same one that that Joab's brother was chasing. He said, now leave me alone, because I don't want to have to kill you. If I kill you, I'm going to have to deal with your brother. Okay? But he wouldn't leave him alone. So what did he do? He stopped, killed him, and kept on going. Abner was ruthless. He was ruthless. And so that boy knew, I better go back to the house. He's going to kill me on the road, amen? Because Abner is thinking about himself. He's a self-centered person. Now watch this. Then the Bible goes on to say, he returned. Then verse 17, we see Abner's sweet talk. He's a sweet talker. Girls, y'all got to watch them sweet talkers. Now listen to what he says. Boys, too. Listen to what he says. Yeah. The day's different. Watch this. Verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now, then, do it. For the Lord, he bring in, you know, when you want things to go your way and want folks confirmed to your side, just bring the Lord. The Lord said, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. Then watch this. And Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin. Now, what big deal was that? Now, Benjamin was also the tribe that Saul and his family was from. But also Abner, because Abner's related to the family too. So now, my friends, he's saying to them, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to yoke up with David. He can talk to Israel. He talks to Benjamin. And now watch what he does. He's a sweet talker. He goes on. The Bible says this. And verse number 19. And Abner also spake to the ears of Benjamin. When you talk to the ears, how come you whisper? And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel. And that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. And Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. We're going to eat. We're going to chow down. And Abner said unto David, I will rise and go and will gather all Israel unto my Lord the king. This thing's about to happen. That they may make a league with thee and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And the Bible says, and David sent Abner away and he went in peace. Can't you see it? My plan has worked. That boy will come at me like this. I'm going to take the whole kingdom from him, that part of Israel, give it to David. I didn't talk to David, work things out with David. I didn't talk to Israel. I didn't talk to Benjamin. David told me to go in peace. David, when I come back, everything's going to be fine. But there's something called payback. You don't have to fight a lot of battles that you're trying to fight. Let the Lord handle a lot of stuff. Now watch what happens. Now we move from Abner's sweet talk to the slaying of Abner, his death. The Bible says in verse 22, man, they make some movies out of this stuff, I'm telling you. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron. For he had sent them away, and he was gone in peace. Watch it. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, hey, Joab, what's up? Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Ooh. Now, y'all remember, Abner killed Joab's brother, and they was chasing him. They was hollering his heels, man. And he comes back home after fighting some other battles, and they tell him, Abner was here. Yeah, yep, he going in peace. Watch with Joab. And Joab, he's a trip too. Watch this. The Bible says in verse 24, then Joab came to the king, talking about David, and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away? And he is quite gone. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. Man, he was hot. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah. But David knew it not. David didn't have a clue. Watch this. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. No, we ain't going nowhere quietly. We ain't going nowhere secretly to talk. Amen. Man, he boy, man, he probably thought everything's fine. I can talk with David. David's the king over here. Well, everything's smooth. Watch this. He said, come over here, Ab. I want to talk to you for a second. The Bible says, when he went over there quietly, the Bible says he smote him. That means he killed him. There on the fifth rib that he died. Why did he die? For the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab wanted revenge. I almost have this message about revenge. Because what you have is you have Abner getting revenge against Ishbosheth for him coming at him. And now you got Joab getting his revenge on Abner because Abner had killed his brother. Now you have Abner laying out there on the ground, and he's dead. But it all started because Abner was selfish. He was thinking about his own self-interest. How is this going to affect me? I'm going to work this out, so I'm going to come out on top. And instead of coming out on top, he comes out on the bottom. He's laid out there, and he's dead. Now, the Bible shows us next. As he's laying there on the dead, verse 28. And Abner, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are what? Guiltless. Before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. David says, I got nothing to do with this. My hands are clean. There's no blood on my hands. I'm not behind this at all. So we're not going to see it tonight. We'll see it later. But David goes out to show everybody, I had nothing to do with this. This was all Joab. And we're going to see Joab. It's amazing how somebody can start out right with you and then at the end be somebody that goes against the things that you had going. Because Joab is going to do some other stuff. And Joab is a relative of David. And we're going to see, well, we're going to see because our sermon is going to end here. Not in here, but before this other thing takes place. But remember, Absalom, David's son, is out to kill David. You know who kills Absalom? Yep, Joab. Joab cuts his head off when he gets caught up in the tree. Listen, revenge don't bring blessings. Getting even doesn't bring blessing. Thinking more about self does not bring blessing. And all the scheming, all the conniving that you had Abner trying to do to fix himself up in a place of where he was and still had authority, he winds up dead. And by the way, Joab is not going to meet a good end either later on down the road. The Bible does say that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's make sure we're sowing the right type of fruit and not the wrong type of fruit. I got two questions. We're done. First question is this. Are we tempted to be selfish? Are we tempted to be selfish? Second question is this. Do we need to ask God for strength to die to self? Do we need to ask God for strength to die to self? And by the way, that's a dying daily. We have to die every day to ourselves. I often use this analogy. You know, if I only had $5, let's say, when we go into the store, and my wife, she wants Duke's mayonnaise, and I like Miracle Whip, because to me, a sandwich is not a sandwich without Miracle Whip. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. Listen here. But you know what? If we only got $5, we can only get one. Be quiet. That's because I want to get Duke for her. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm going to die to self. Say, you know what? You can go to have a Duke. I could say, you know what? If my $5, I'm going to get the Miracle Whip. She might break the jar when I get to the house. But anyhow, my point is this. When you're dying to self, you say, you know what? What's good for all of us? Okay, everybody here knows I don't like mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans. But do we still have them on the menu? Because y'all like them. I'm not going to say, well, no, I don't have that. We're going to have rib tips every night. Amen. Praise God. No. He hit me over here. But when you're dying to self, you think about, how does it affect everybody else? Remember the verse you read in Philippians? We'll read this and we're done. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, what Paul says to the church of Philippi, which, of course, this is, even though Paul was in prison, this is called the Joy Book. The book that says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says this, and this is the present imperative, this is command. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We start dying to self and living for Christ. It's amazing how God began to bless our lives when we begin to die to self. Let's seek to do that. First question, are we tempted to be selfish? Second question, do we need to ask God for strength to die to self? And last and simple statement, let's come and ask God tonight for that strength. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that helps us and it challenges us, encourages us, reveal truth to us. And God, perhaps some of our brothers and sisters that are here tonight may have been battling with that area, didn't even know it, perhaps. Because sometimes we're involved in things really, and we have a clue that's what's going on. But perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that will say, you know what, Lord, give me strength so I won't be selfish, that I will think more about the Savior, Jesus Christ, and die to myself and live for Jesus. Perhaps, God, that somebody will ask you for that type of strength and help them to resist, Lord, that temptation, that pull to focus only on themselves. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Perhaps, God, that somebody here tonight that wants to come for some other reason, have nothing to do with this message, not one thing, but they want to pray and talk to you about something else that's on their hearts and their minds. I pray, God, they come tonight. Perhaps, God, there's someone here tonight, Father, that needs to be born again. They realize tonight that they have not started off the journey yet because they have not trust Christ as their Savior. Father, we will show them from the Word of God how to trust Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, they come tonight. God, whatever the needs are, I pray, Father, we come. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now. For us in Christ's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. And if you come, talk to us.